The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, Berkshire County. What's going on? It's Bird's Eye View. I'm Mike Walsh. This is not Jesse Kolodkin. It is Yom Kippur, so Jesse has the day off, so happy... I don't know if they would be listening on their holiday, but do you say happy Yom Kippur? I'm not even sure on that, so yeah. Don't hold it against me. I'm joined by Dylan Thompson. He's going to fill in guest. Sports/movie connoisseur joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, welcome. Like I said, yeah, Bird's Eye View. So we're going to talk some local sports. I figure just kind of whatever today. We can kind of dance around stuff. There is a bunch of football happening this weekend, as you might be aware. Actually, tonight, Taconic is out at East Hampton. Tomorrow, there's two local games, two road games, and then another one. Salt Hadley is visiting Hoosick Saturday for an 11 a.m. matinee. Do I need to hit that button there? Does that sound better, everyone? Okay. I'm still learning on this side of the thing. I came in, I need a refresher. I did this like a couple times in the past, but it's been a while, so I hope all these buttons are pressed correctly and we're talking to people right now. Anyway, actually I had a couple like we'll do this second half maybe. I had some like weird cinematic moments I wanted to talk to you about happened to me yesterday.
Oh, nice.
I figured I'd touch base with you on them. But I mean, the big thing right now is just I woke up this morning thinking about it. Like, sports are really great because – so I know you're a big Celtics. Are you big other Boston-y stuff or – yeah.
Celtics, Patriots, and then I wouldn't say I'm a huge Red Sox fan, but I do get locked in the postseason, and these last two nights have just been incredible.
Yeah, it's I'm kind of the same way where I was huge kind of all four growing up and everything out in Central Mass, but I've certainly fallen. I still do Celtics Patriots. I think probably primarily even Patriots, I fall off a little bit where I'm, especially when they're, you know, not good the past handful of years, pretty much stick to, you know, Celtics. But yeah, I kind of got roped in again, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, I guess I'm just a casual fan now because I'm watching the batting order go through all the relievers that Alex Cora started going to last night. And I'm like, I don't recognize any of these names. Even watching Chapman pitch the other night, I was like, I'm not sure I've watched Chapman like a full Chapman inning all year. And I just have like I still have like visceral the best part of sports is that I still have visceral reaction to both him. From like hating him as a Yankee and just the Yankees in general. And I don't know if it's that, like if this was a Red Sox Tigers series, wild card or something, I don't know that I would get into it as much. Just from that fact that like grew up like hating, you know, Jeter, Paul O'Neill, Bernie Williams, Alex Rodriguez, the big one. And I think it's just cool that like I can pop in now, and I guess I hate the label of it, but I guess I'm a casual Red Sox fan now.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like I haven't got to experience Red Sox Yankees like high pressure moments like that, because if you think like the 2021 wild card game, the Red Sox smoked the Yankees. 2018, they beat them 3-1. So I didn't really experience 03 and 04. So this is like my first taste of like high intensity game on the line. Big decision making, and it's been great. I mean, you think about back to game one, Crochet staying out there, getting the K, Chapman almost blowing it and then not. And then even last night, like real decision making from Alex Cora. You can question his decision to pull Bayo in the third. I certainly did, but my baseball friends talked me down off the ledge. But yeah, it's just, it's great to see.
In case you are wondering, Dylan is young. that was his way of telling us all that he's much younger than us. I have those kind of memories of you know, Tim Wakefield, Aaron Boone, stuff like that. Aaron Boone is a player. it's cool. You were just saying that. I remember back to, it wasn't Red Sox Yankee, but it was that I remember back to being in my first apartment in Pittsfield and staying up till, I don't remember what time the game finally ended, but the Nathan Eovaldi game.
Oh, yeah.
That he wound up losing, but he pitched, you know, into like whatever the 14th inning or whatever it wanted to be.
Game 3, 2018 World Series.
Yeah, and it was just, it was like, this is awesome. And now it's back. And even like the, I've been so out of it. I didn't even like the layout of the wild card stuff is like new to me because the Red Sox haven't been involved in a handful of years here.
Well, this is their first time in this new format.
Oh, this is very okay. Then yeah. then it's all new to everyone. But the three games out there. I mean, he was just kind of going for it last night. It was part of it that you probably, if you're like a older school baseball fan, the I hesitate to call it like the nerdification of baseball, but that's obviously a big criticism of the game right now, where how many of these decisions are being made by Alex Cora's gut, how many are being made by his brain, how many are made by the computers in the front office that are saying, all right, we need to pull Brian out and go, you know, this matchup throughout the course of a game.
There's only one decision I questioned from Cora last night, and that's leaving Whitlock in for 46 pitches, because now I don't think you're going to be able to use Whitlock tonight. And if it's a close game, are you going to do Chapman again for multiple innings, or how is that going to go? Because
it was a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with the fact that he used Whitlock all 46 pitches, and it cost him.
Yeah, it looked like he hadn't thrown. That was the most he's thrown all year. He hadn't thrown more than 40, I think, since June. Yeah. So it's. Yeah, there's some criticisms, I guess. I don't know why the guy wasn't sent. I haven't looked.
He should have been sent.
I haven't looked super into like replays of that or what exactly they saw. That once the ball got by, he wasn't just going, or once the throw went to first, he should have just been going.
Well, ESPN showed a replay where the third base coach held him up,
but then he slowed going around the base.
But then when the ball got past the first baseman, the first base coach was pointing to him to go, and I don't think Eaton saw him, so he stayed.
Yeah, it was just kind of. Just an error of timing of the look, and now it's this bizarre situation where they're gonna throw Connolly early, it looks like, tonight, who has pitched I think four times in the big leagues, was in Portland, Maine
a month ago,
not too long ago, pitched a lot in Worcester, it's a giant opportunity. It'll be very interesting to see. I mean, these games have been obviously 3-1 and 4-3. Those are the finals. Something I had 3-2.
Yeah.
And those were obviously, you know, elite pitchers going in both of those games. So could this game be like, okay, offenses open up and we get a little nutty?
Well, the Yankees are starting a rookie too. So
yes, two rookies going.
I'm interested to see, like, will either pitcher make it through the full batting order one time? Or will it just be...
We have high hopes here.
Yeah, I mean...
the bar is on the floor.
I think for early, it's like, can you just get through Judge the first time? Get through Judge, and then, okay, we'll go from there.
He's just going to empty... Cora's just going to empty it again. Well, that's is Bray and Bello available?
Well, that's the issue, is that they went all out to win game two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, now what do? You basically emptied the kitchen sink already.
That was, I mean, it was a strategy. It didn't pay off. You could argue, a good strategy. Like they had it. They kind of had a couple opportunities there. Loaded the bases. Couldn't get anybody in.
Duran drops a fly ball.
Yeah, he drops a fly ball. Sedan pops like a bunt to the pitcher. Yeah. Like you can't. Those are things that Alex Cora certainly needed them to execute. Because he was like, you can second guess some of his decisions, but he put them in the right position to win. It's just the players didn't execute a couple key moments there, whether it's base running error in the outfield, and then Whitlock is just I don't know.
His first run given up in like 14 innings.
Yeah, so some of these things. I mean, even Chapman in game one was like, wait, this guy can, like, people can hit him, and then you're like, he's giving up three hits in five pitches. What are we doing here? I was laughing because I was in the office at the same desk, same position where I was when I was like screaming at Jason Tatum in the Knicks series to like dunk the basketball, and they were blowing their 20-point leads as they did.
Speaking of Tatum, did you see that video of him running?
I did not. My dad was telling me about this the other day, and I was like, no, I was locked in on the Red Sox. He's like, oh, Tatum's like running up and down the court now. I'm like, oh, all right.
I don't think people understand how utterly insane that is.
He's four months removed from
tearing his Achilles, and he's running full speed up and down the court.
He is like just fanatical enough to like do something special. I think that was always kind of the hope going in, was okay, like this is this guy's life. Like he doesn't he's not doing what we're doing right now. tuck into microphones like a lot of NBA players are doing. He like this is all he does, I think. And that was kind of the hope. I mean, the weird to say the hope when he got hurt like that was like, oh, but like he's Tatum.
How do you want the team to approach it?
I haven't thought about this in a while, but going back to like when it happened and when a lot of the earlier offseason stuff was happening with like the holiday trade and Porzingis leaving and everything like that. I was like, why not just like, and the ownership situation is a whole like X factor variable on like, what do they want to do? Because it's all kind of changing. But I was like, this team, like, put it on Jaylen. Like, this team should be still win 45, 50 games. Like, this team should be a top four team in the East, regardless of Jason Tatum or no Jason Tatum. And just kind of, I'm curious to see, because a lot of people will, like, forever criticize Jaylen Brown, probably for always, you know, like, oh, you were second best. Like, it's Scottie Pippen disease. You never took it on yourself. And this is kind of his opportunity, like, and it doesn't come at the expense of having to lose Jaylen Brown. You just get to kind of see, all right, Jaylen, can you be a 28-10 guy? Can you do this?
I think he can average 30.
He has that, I feel like that ability, that drive. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. I just would be curious to see it. So I was like, yeah, just like go for it. Why not try to win, try to, you know, whether you can win the finals or not. I've never understood, like, oh, we can't win it, let's pack it in.
How do you want them to handle Tatum?
Oh, that I don't.
Like, say he fully is on track to come back in March or April. Do you bring him back?
Like, they're like 10 games over 500 or something, like fighting for the two.
Because like, we know the drive that Tatum has. If he's 100%, like, you're gonna have to like lock him up.
I don't think he's gonna deal very well with if they're like, no, we're tanking the year. Like, that's not, I don't think that's in his blood. So yeah, it would be wild to see him come back for like a 45 win team in you know, round one or something. Or I'd prefer, you know, come back in April, early April or something. But that's, I have not watched that video yet. I do have to check it out.
it's much needed. It's a much needed watch.
Gives you some like some Celtics positive feelings. Given I'm having discussions about Anthony Simons with my dad. That I'm like, why? Like, this is what we've devolved to since like we won the title 2 years ago. We're talking ourselves into Anthony. Like, oh, you think he's better defensively than Peyton Pritchard? Like, what are we doing here? But we had Drew Holiday and Derek White 2 years ago.
Other than the Tatum injury, Boston sports is in a pretty good week right now. You think about the
Patriots blew somebody out, right? I didn't watch.
Patriots blew out the Panthers. They're Sunday Night Football this week against the Bills. Mm-hmm. Like, Red Sox are in a playoff series against the Yankees.
We're back. It's a nice week. You never left. You won the NBA title 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting. I'm like, now I'm looking ahead to tonight. And I'm like, I gotta like plan my day kind of around this 6 o'clock Red Sox start, and I like haven't planned my day around a Red Sox game in, I don't even know, 10 years. Mm-hmm. I got to drive to Liverpool, Syracuse area tonight for a wedding this weekend. And I'm like, all right, like, if we get there, we got to get there because I got to be on, you know, my in-laws' couch watching this game.
Yeah.
And hopefully here's the kids. If you're wondering where the kid, normally Henry is a part of this radio show with us. He is with my parents who came out last night and they're on the way to the same wedding. So I got to come in free. Normally we're like tracking him underneath this, trying to make sure he doesn't yank out cords and stuff like that.
Nice.
That's what I just thought about this morning. Like, the beauty of sports is you can kind of come at it from so many different angles. Like, you can still be a diehard, and I still know diehards. I still probably am considered a diehard in certain aspects, and sports is obviously my job as well. But to kind of be roped in late is an exciting experience, and I'm like looking up stuff like, who is this guy, the Red Sox first baseman I had never heard of until
Romy Gonzalez.
Nathaniel
Lowe,
the mustache.
Nathaniel Lowe.
I was like, the guy came out of the batter's box, like, who the heck is this guy? Apparently he's been there a while and he's pretty good. just some names that I'm like, oh, all right. This is interesting. It'd be cool to see him do something wild. This new Connolly Early, I've never seen pitch, so interesting experience.
Yeah, he's a lefty.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're gonna. I'm gonna try to take a quick break here as we hit the midpoint. I'm gonna try to click one of these buttons. We'll see what happens.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
I think that worked. Kinda. I think it kinda worked.
Yeah.
I slid up the wrong one at one point, but we're good. Anyway, checking back in here, WTBR 89.7 FM. We are also, let's see, 88.1 WSBR Lee. Coming to you. This is Bird's Eye View. Mike Walsh here. Dylan Thompson joining me. We just talked a bunch of Red Sox kind of stuff off the jump here. We kind of make our bones in the high school ranks here, high school, colleges, local stuff. So I do want to touch on some of that stuff. Like I said early at the top of the show, some big-ish football games this weekend. We have the start of league play. And if you paid attention to anything, particularly Jesse Kolodkin was doing over the summer, a lot of league shifting, a lot of stuff moving around in all sports, soccer, volleyball, football in particular. And so we got some kind of newish games will be happening. Not newish games. Pittsfield is hosting Wacona, so not a new game there. But Hoosick's going to host South Hadley. They're both new to their league. Lee is going to play Holyoke, new to their league. Monument is at Belchertown, new to that league. And Taconic tonight is actually out at East Hampton, again, new kind of league rivals. So exciting stuff there. You're going to be at Lee tomorrow night.
Yep.
Lee Holyoke. So you've read a little bit about Lee. This will be your first time seeing them. What are you kind of most curious to see? What will kind of make you more of a believer that 3-0 Lee can be a state contender? Because right now they are number one in the MIA D8 power rankings.
I want to see their quarterback, David Kirchner, because you guys were saying that he's probably an upgrade over Amari Smith, or at least maybe equal to. So I want to see how he plays, because I think come, you know, time to get to Gillette or to that range, you need your quarterback to step up, and he needs to be legit. And I also want to see Dawson Reber. I mean, I love watching Lee running backs. I think it's my favorite school to watch their running backs. And yeah, I just want to see their defense as well. I mean, Sal Nitti preaches defense. And Holyoke, I remember last year I covered them. Granted, they were playing a Taconic team that went 0-9, but they put up like 50 points, and their quarterback was good, and he's back, Devin Velez. So I'm interested to see how they handle their passing attack that Holyoke has.
Yeah, if you could I honestly have not seen Lee either, either. And the quarterback change is the kind of the main thing that you can point to and be like, okay, if you're going to take another step to, so Lee was 8-0 last year, won their league, won a playoff game, went out to West Boylston, got kind of beat up by the eventual state champion. So if you're going to take that next step, it's, I think, like, Lee was good all around last year. They had 1,000-yard rushers. They had dominant offensive defensive line. They had a dominant defense overall.
They had, like, 5 shutouts last year.
Yeah, yeah, and they're kind of toying with that right now. They're back-to-back shutouts right now.
Yeah.
And I think have they given up 6 points this season? I think maybe just 6 to Monument. Anyway, the quarterback position is the one spot that you could potentially see an upgrade. Omari was a veteran. He did a lot of good things, a lot of smart things. He wasn't quite a game changer in really many aspects. They didn't really throw a ton. And I think you're right. When you get to that level of the playoffs, you kind of need a little bit something different that you can throw at a team, because eventually you're going to run into someone bigger who's going to stop the run.
You need an elite playmaker.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of didn't have that so much at that level, I guess. They had it in Berkshire County. Once you get out to, you know, that area, Central Mass, Eastern Mass, playmakers have to be able to do a little more than, you know, Devin Schwab was an amazing running back, ran for 1,000 yards. It's a level. And in D8, you may not need, like, the collegiate D1 type of game changer that you'll see in a high school game from time to time, but you need someone who can kind of make some eye popping stuff, make something happen almost kind of on their own. So that's why I think the Hoosick Lee game is just Like we had kind of like a couple potential games of the year so far this year already. But that game, like if you're looking back, Hushik kind of got almost embarrassed in that game last year. I don't think they were ready for it. They kind of had a couple guys missing. Just a whole bunch of stuff happened and that kind of left them on a poor trajectory heading into the state tournament, where they actually went out to West Boylston, I thought played pretty well, but lost that game. But I think Hushik just has that next level of playmaker.
Yeah.
Whereas Lee might be a little more buttoned up, a little more strong, you know, defensively, just being there every play. Mm-hmm. Hushik has the type of playmakers that can kind of torch you and be like, uh-oh, like now we're down 14. Does Lee have the horses to come back from a deficit like that? Because I saw Hushik down at Monument this past weekend, and as good as Monument was defensively, as strong as kind of they showcased themselves, Hushik eventually wore him down, had the playmakers. They also have a new quarterback, Ben Payton, who did sling it a little bit. Whether it was him or more just chucking jump balls to Kamari and Kastner and having him, like, you know, who's got already like 4 inches on his DB and can also out jump that DB by another foot. He's high pointing balls. That's a whole different level that I think is probably once you get to, if you can get yourself to that second round of a state tournament, that's what's going to get you, I think, over the hump there. That's what Hushik had 4 years ago now, whenever that the Carson Mezwar quarterback year, they had kind of those outside the numbers guys who could get them over a hump there.
Yeah.
That's a little bit about football. I don't know what else has kind of been going on. There's been, we're kind of getting into a lot of like rematch territory right now with soccer, volleyball in particular, where we're not running out of good matchups. It's just there's some teams that are. So I was looking at kind of who's undefeated, because I was going to throw up like an Instagram post on like teams that are undefeated, and obviously Lee Hushik football are in that group as well. But you have Lennox volleyball, Mount Greylock girls soccer, Hushik boys soccer, and might be McCann Tech girls soccer, I believe, are all still undefeated. But there's a lot of kind of ties mixed in there, and it's just looking for the matchups that will be, you know, legit challenges for some of these teams is getting harder to find. And I think that's something we worried about with some of the shifting of stuff league-wise. It's given us some good stuff, too. I point to last Saturday was Greylock, Wakona girls soccer.
Yeah.
Both came in undefeated. Greylock wins 5-0. And you're like, okay, what is this? If I'm thinking about it, does this mean, okay, Wakona's not legit? Because I went in thinking they were pretty legit after I saw them beat an undefeated East Hampton side 3-0, and East Hampton had no shot in the game ever. Or does it mean that, like, okay, like, Greylock is way more legit than I thought? Greylock, I thought, was going to be, I still would have probably put them at number one entering the year in Berkshire County, with Wakona, Pittsfield, kind of right there behind them, jostling around. But Greylock lost like what I thought was the best goalie in the county for like three straight years. I think she took a year off in the middle there when she was hurt, but Maya O'Connor was, I would argue, the best goalie her entirety of her high school career. And they lost, I think, their leading goal scorer, Mila Marcis. So they then their third new coach in 3 years.
But one of the best coaches that Berkshire County has seen.
It's a giant asterisk on hey, new coach, in that it's Blair Dills, who's won Western Mass titles, I believe won state titles on the boys' side of the field, had not coached in 2 years now.
2 years, I believe,
So I haven't seen them yet, unfortunately, because these matchups kind of keep happening on. I was camping last weekend, so I couldn't go to that one, but entering the year, I would have put Nora Lopez as probably my preseason MVP pick. She's kind of panning out right now. I think she's at, I have it right here, she's at like 40-something points already, 46 points. She scored 20 goals already.
Jeez.
So she's just kind of, and you could see that even as, I mean, sophomore, junior year. Yeah. She was just kind of the best player on the field. She was playing a lot more midfield, though, when they had more attackers. And I figured she would be a little bit more scoring heavy this year. I don't know that I predicted 20 goals in 9 games, but here we are. And you look at, yeah, Greylock has, since they did tie Pittsfield in that first matchup. So that matchup, I believe, is Tuesday coming up here. That rematch. So they tied Pittsfield, I believe, at home. So they'll be down at Kirvin, I believe, on Tuesday. Don't hold me to that. But other than that, Greylock is beating teams 5-1, 5-1, 8-0, 5-0, 5-0, 4-1, 8-1. 2-1 was at Brattleboro in their season opener up in Vermont. So are they that much better than everyone else? So I'd like to see them. Those are all outside of that that Brattleboro tournament that they play in. Those are all county games, which, like, they've had kind of this kind of record for the past few years, but now you're coming all against county teams. Some of those county teams are a little light. And I think they'll have a couple games coming up against, like, Longmeadow and maybe Northampton, but I'm worried that they're getting ahead of their skis, or am I discrediting... just going back to that game on Saturday, do I discredit Wakona now? Wakona plays another game against Pittsfield. They beat Pittsfield 2-0. If they take care of Pittsfield a second straight time, I'm like, okay, you're legit. But then does that mean that Greylock is just like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like, Greylock is real, real, real good.
Yeah.
I don't know. So there's some questions, I think, coming out of this. Flipping over to the boys' side, it seems like Monument, I saw you at that game, Monument at Pittsfield, seemed like, okay, these are going to be the two best teams again, regardless of all that both of those teams lost. And then Monument kind of handled Pittsfield, who's having a tough, we knew going in, brutal schedule for Pittsfield. They graduated 13 guys. It's going to be an uphill battle here. I don't know. Yeah. They like get into the state tournament with, you know, 3 wins kind of deal.
No,
I don't know if that's going to happen, but it still seems like, cause they went out and beat up on, Wakona.
Yeah.
And I think, did they beat Greylock as well?
That game got postponed.
That was supposed to be the Thursday game. So they haven't played Greylock yet, but, unfortunately their only win is the 3-0 against Wakona. So you're like, okay, you're the second best team, in Berkshire County, but you're 1-7-1 right now.
Yeah.
So it's just tough.
Monuments, their style of play is going to travel and come late October, early November.
Yeah, I think that's so when the all this realignment happened that we just mentioned Jesse was writing about all summer, there were some really good things to come out of it. And then I'm just curious, I would be curious to hear like Ryan Wanick's take on it, the Pittsfield coach. Like, did they opt to be like, no, we want the smoke, we want to stay in Churchill? Mm. And Churchill itself has changed a bunch, actually. It's not the same Churchill as it was last year, but it's still like Wakona, Pittsfield, and a bunch of D2 school.
I mean, Northampton's number schools. 1 in D2, and Pittsfield has to play them twice.
Yes, yeah. Agawam, Frontier came out and beat, or they went out there, beat them 5-0. So it's, did they want it, or did they get kind of stuck in the Churchill? Because Greylock obviously moves out. Monument stays in, but even going in, and Monument did lose some giant pieces. Hudson Manzolini may have been, like, other than the Pittsfield guys, like the best player in the county.
Yeah.
I just felt a little more confident in Monument's ability to have staying power in that league. I mean, and just sheer numbers wise, like Greylock, Pittsfield lost 13 guys. So it's no shock that they're struggling here, but I still feel like they're like a strong, competent team.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsfield, their issue is just offense. They can't score.
They graduated 60 goals.
Yeah, their defense and goalkeeper are solid. It's just they can't score. Monument, I think, is a complete team from what I've seen. They don't really have a weakness in my eyes.
Yeah, there was a little, like, everything Hudson Manzolini did last year was like he was kind of a man amongst boys in a lot of the games where he's just this big, giant guy who can, like, move the ball, like, as well as anyone I've ever seen play high school soccer.
Yeah.
So it was a little concern there, but they had that Mason Whiteman, who would have been my pick for preseason MVP, entering the year, and he's kind of just picked up. They have a lot of, they don't have a ton of seniors. I think only 2 seniors, but they have a lot of competent veteran soccer players.
They got that transfer from Lennox too, Sean Collins.
Sean Collins transfer.
He's really good as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a key to Lennox. Yeah. Unfortunately, we're going to run out of time here. We got like 20 seconds. But thank you to Dylan for joining us. We'll talk about the movie stuff off the air, I guess. Or we'll have you come back in maybe next week. But this has been a Bird's Eye View. Dylan Thompson joining us. I'm Mike Walsh. We will be back here next Thursday at 10 a.m. Get out, see some games, go Sox tonight, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later.